Against Heresies by St. Irenaeus of Lyon. Book 4, Chapter 35. A refutation of those who allege that the prophets uttered some predictions under the inspiration of the Highest, others from the Demiurge. Disagreements of the Valentinians among themselves with regard to these same predictions. Then again, in opposition to the Valentinians and the other Gnostics, falsely so-called, who maintained that some parts of Scripture were spoken at one time from the Pleroma, through means of the seed from that place, but at another time from the intermediate abode, through means of the audacious mother Prunica, but that many are due to the Creator of the world, the Demiurge, from whom also the prophets had their mission. We say that it is altogether irrational to bring down the Father of the universe to such straits as that he should not be possessed of his own proper instruments by which the things in the Pleroma might be perfectly proclaimed. For who was he afraid of, that he should not reveal his will after his own way, independently, freely, and without being involved with that spirit who came into being in a state of degeneracy and ignorance? Was it that he feared that many would be saved, when more should have listened to the unadulterated truth? Or, on the other hand, was he incapable of preparing for himself those who should announce the Savior's coming? But if, when the Savior came to this earth, he sent the apostles into the world to proclaim with accuracy his coming, and to teach the Father's will, having nothing in common with the doctrine of the Gentiles or of the Jews, much more, while yet existing in the Pleroma, he would have appointed his own heralds to proclaim his future coming into this world, and having nothing in common with those prophecies originating from the Demiurge. But if, when within the Pleroma, he availed himself of those prophets who were under the law, and declared his own matters through their instrumentality, how much more would he, upon his arrival here, have made use of these same teachers, and have preached the gospel to us by their means? Therefore, let them no longer assert that Peter and Paul and the other apostles proclaimed the truth, but that the scribes and the Pharisees and the others were those through whom the law was propounded. But if at his coming he sent forth his own apostles in the spirit of truth and not in that of error, he did the very same also in the case of the prophets. For the word of God was always the same. And if the spirit from the Pleroma was, according to these men's system, the spirit of light, the spirit of truth, the spirit of perfection, and the spirit of knowledge, while that from the Demiurge was the spirit of ignorance, degeneracy, and error, and the offspring of darkness and obscurity, how can it be that in one and the same being there exists perfection and defect, knowledge and ignorance, error and truth, light and darkness? But if it was impossible that such should happen in the case of the prophets, for they preached the word of the Lord from one God and proclaimed the coming of his Son, how much more would the Lord himself never have uttered words, on one occasion from above, but on another from degeneracy below, thus becoming the teacher, at once, of knowledge and of ignorance? Nor would he ever have glorified as Father, at one time the founder of the world, and at another him who is above this one. As he does himself declare, no man puts a piece of a new garment onto an old one, nor do they put new wine in old bottles. Let these men, therefore, either have nothing whatever to do with the prophets, as with those that are ancients, and allege no longer that these men, being sent beforehand by the Demiurge, spoke certain things under that new influence which pertains to the Pleroma. Or, on the other hand, let them be convinced by our Lord, when he declares that new wine cannot be put into new, old bottles. But from what source could the offspring of their mother derive his knowledge of the mysteries within the Pleroma, and power to discourse regarding them? Suppose that the mother, while beyond the Pleroma, did bring forth this very offspring. But what is beyond the Pleroma they represent as being beyond the pale of knowledge, that is, in ignorance. How, then, could that seed, which was conceived in ignorance, possess the power of declaring knowledge? Or how did the mother herself, a shapeless and undefined being, one cast out of doors like an abortion, obtain knowledge of the mysteries within the Pleroma, she who was organized outside it, and given a form there, and prohibited by Horos from entering within, and who remains outside the Pleroma till the consummation of all things, that is, beyond the pale of knowledge? Then again, when they say that the Lord's passion is a type of the extension of the Christ above, which he effected through Horos, and so imparted a form to their mother, they are refuted in the other particulars of the Lord's passion. For they have no semblance of a type to show with regard to them. For when did the Christ above have vinegar and gall given him to drink? Or when was his raiment parted? Or when was he pierced, and blood and water came forth? Or when did he sweat great drops of blood? And the same may be demanded, as to the other particulars which happened to the Lord, of which the prophets have spoken. From where, then, did the mother, or her offspring, divine the things which had not yet taken place, but which should occur afterwards? They affirm that certain things still, besides these, were spoken from the Pleroma, but are confuted by those which are referred to in the Scriptures as bearing on the coming of Christ. But what these are, they are not agreed, but give different answers concerning them. For if anyone, wishing to test them, should question one by one, with regard to any passage, those who are their leading men, he shall find one of them referring the passage in question to the Propator, that is, to Bythus, another attributing it to Arche, that is, to the only begotten, another to the Father of all, that is, to the Word, while another again will say that it was spoken of that one aeon formed from the joint contributions of the aeons in the Pleroma, others as referring to Christ, while another to the Savior. One again, more skilled than these, after a long protracted silence, declares that it was spoken of Horos, another that it signifies the Sophia which is within the Pleroma, another that it announces the Mother outside the Pleroma, while another will mention the God who made the world, the Demiurge. Such are the variations existing among them with regard to one passage, holding discordant opinions as to the same Scriptures. And when the same identical passage is read out, they all begin to screw up their eyebrows and shake their heads, and they say that they might indeed utter a discourse transcendently lofty, but that not every one can comprehend the greatness of that thought which is implied in it, and that therefore, among the wise, the chief thing is silence. For that Sige which is above must be typified by that Sige, silence, which they preserve. Thus do they, as many as they are, all depart holding as many opinions as to one thing, and bearing about their clever notions in secret within themselves. Therefore, when they have agreed among themselves as to the things predicted in the Scriptures, then they shall be confuted by us. For though holding wrong opinions, they do in the meanwhile, however, convict themselves, since they are not of one mind with regard to the same words. But as we follow for our teacher, the one and only true God, and possess his words as to the rule of truth, we all speak alike with regard to the same things, knowing but one God, the creator of this universe, who sent the prophets, who led forth the people from the land of Egypt, who in these last times manifested his own Son, that he might put the unbelievers to confusion, and search out the fruit of righteousness. End of chapter 35 of book 4.